Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Leave it to TV to splash the headline that the bones of Jesus have been found in an old box in Jerusalem. Today, an exposé of some bad archaeology and a look at how the critics of Christianity are marketing their wares in the media. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series on slandering Jesus, lies being told about the man who claimed to be the Son of God. Join us now as we hear a message on lie number 6, the bones of Jesus have been found.
Well, I'm here today to announce to you that the tomb was empty, no bones about it. There's been a lot of hype in the media because a tomb was found in 1980 in a suburb of Jerusalem. A tomb that was looked at by archaeologists who noticed the biblical names, but because of the commonality of the names, paid little attention to it. But now the tomb has been rediscovered, so to speak, and we find that it had 10 ossuaries. By the way, an ossuary is really a limestone bone box. What happened in those days is that if you died and if you were important enough and if you had a tomb, your flesh would disintegrate and then you were reburied and your bones were put into one of these ossuaries, into one of the tombs for permanent safekeeping, these boxes that held bones. Well, even back in 1980, it was known that there were 10 ossuaries, and some of them have biblical names. The scenario is that when Jesus died on the cross, he was put into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and then afterwards he would have been reburied in the, quote, family tomb that we've been hearing about, and that's where his bones were. So the resurrection on this scenario is a hoax, and Jesus Christ's bones are somewhere in Jerusalem. Now, it is said that of the 10, there were 6 that had inscriptions. And that's why the tomb has garnered so much attention. The following names. First of all, it has an inscription, Jesus, son of Joseph. And then Mariamne of Mara, supposedly Mary Magdalene, who was the wife of Jesus, according to this scenario. Maria, who is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Matthias, Matthew, who doesn't fit. And there is a Matthew, of course, who was a disciple of Jesus, but not a member of the family. Judah, it says, son of Jesus. He would have been the child that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had. And then Josie, who is listed in the book of Mark as one of Jesus Christ's half-brothers. You know he did have half-brothers. And so the question is, what is the possibility of all these names being together and not being the tomb of Jesus with his bones at one time in one of those ossuaries? By the way, in the tomb, there were a number of skeletons, way more than 20 that were found, some of them on shelves and so forth, as those ancient tombs frequently have. Now, what are the odds that indeed this is the tomb of Jesus? According to the book that was written, it says there's only one chance in 2.5 million that this could be wrong. The movie special was a little bit more modest and said one chance in 600 that this isn't the tomb of Jesus. James Cameron, who wrote the introduction to the book, says that the evidence is irrefutable and, quote, pieced together from physical evidence which cannot lie. So before I look at this irrefutable evidence, I do want to make a few comments to dispense with some nonsense. That's what we're going to do for the next few moments. And the nonsense that I would like us to address so that we can lay it all aside is, number one, the idea that if the bones of Jesus were discovered, it wouldn't make any difference to Christianity. You heard people say that. Christians supposedly said that. Oh, it wouldn't affect my faith, some people who were interviewed said. Because after all, I just believe that Jesus arose spiritually. So even if they find his bones, I'm okay with it, and this is the faith that I inherited, and I'll go on believing. Nonsense. There are reasons why Jesus had to be raised physically in order for Christianity to be true. First of all, he predicted that he would be raised. Secondly, that's the whole point of redemption. I pray, God, that your whole body, soul, and spirit will be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish notion of resurrection in those days was physical resurrection. The idea that you'd have this spiritual body that would be raised, but your physical body would be still in the tomb, is a modern idea. Nobody would have accepted that. Furthermore, after he was raised, Jesus said to the disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, because they were wondering whether or not he was a ghost, he said, touch me and see me, because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. And then he says, do you have something to eat? I'll eat a piece of fish with you to prove that I am fully resurrected. Now, you see, the body of Jesus was a resurrected body. Its molecular structure was very different from his physical body, but there was continuity. That's why, as we shall see, there was still a scar in his side from the sword, and there were nail prints in his hands. The idea that somehow you could have Christianity without the resurrection of Jesus is false. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain. And we are found to be misrepresenting God because we testified that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he goes on to say, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we only have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Pity the Christian who says that Jesus did not rise physically. He does not understand the gospel, and the Christian faith collapses if the true bones of Jesus were found. It's like Vance Havner said, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a myth, then we are myth-taken, we are mythified, and we are mithrable, all right? Let's accept that. Let's lay all the cards on the table. Everything is at stake in this debate. Here's a parenthesis, philosophically. Christianity is the only religion that can be falsified. All other religions are compatible with anything and everything. And because Christianity is a historical religion, it really has a tremendous advantage over other options. But we are not putting our head in the sand, copping out and saying, well, he arose spiritually. Everything is on this table. Secondly, I have to dispense with the foolishness that the Bible should be held to a separate standard when the text is analyzed. James Cameron of Titanic fame, who wrote the introduction to the book, said this, a compelling case has been made that Jesus never existed at all, but was a myth created to fulfill a specific need. And then he says, until now there has been zero physical evidence of his existence. No fingerprints, no bones, no portraits done from life, nothing. Not a shred of parchment written from Jesus' own hand. What do you mean? Let's go over this slowly. Could you imagine What would happen to studies of history if this were the standard that people would use? What if we were to use this standard for Plato, for Aristotle, for Socrates, or for Julius Caesar, or for Pilate? Let's look at it. No fingerprints. No fingerprints. If we came across fingerprints, how in the world would we know that they were the fingerprints of Jesus? Fingerprints only work if you are able to compare. You get booked at the police station and they take your fingerprints and then they go around looking, trying to find them on the smashed window of a car. That's the way fingerprints work. Fingerprints. No bones. No portraits done from life. Isn't that something? There was no artist who came up with a sketch of Jesus and the sketch existed for 2,000 years. And then not a shred of parchment written by Jesus' own hand. Oh, how terrible. And he goes on to say that the discovery of this tomb should be welcomed by Christians because, after all, we're doing you a favor because now we know he finally existed. Thanks very, very much. My friend, this is Pastor Luther. I hope that you grasp how thrilled I am to be able to expose error about Jesus. And there are plenty of errors out there, and this series of messages exposes them. And what I'm committed to do here in the ministry of Running to Win is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. I'm holding in my hand a changed life story. Someone says that in the year 2010, which was long ago, he says, a friend showed me a video of you, and I've listened to your services ever since. I've experienced decades of spiritual drought. I was heading in the wrong direction, damaging my family and friends. But the grace of God came with the Word rooted deeper and deeper, and the fruit of the Spirit growing visibly since I started to listen to your messages. Now, I need to tell you, my friend, that you are a part of what God is doing as a result of Running to Win. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. Of course, you need more information. Here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com. And as you might guess, offerrtw is all one word. offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Let me give you that contact info again. And thanks in advance for your generosity and standing with us. Go to offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
The truth of the resurrection of Jesus is so transforming that its enemies will do anything to suppress it. Next time on Running to Win, more on an ancient tomb in an ancient city and on the purported evidence that Jesus never rose from the dead. This entire series of messages can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about slandering Jesus. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.